Going on, man. This is Ice Nigma.
Yeah, and this is T Nigma, and this is Enigmas Unchained. What it do, my peoples? This is T Nigma with Enigmas Unchained, and we are back for a dope run. Right, but before we do that, I got your friend's best friend. I got the Ice. How you doing, brother?
Oh man, hey, it's good to be back, man.
Absolutely,
let's
man.
Get to it.
Yes, sir. And now we got two special guests with us right now, homies. Both of them got their own stuff. You know, we got Sean with Champions Material. How you doing, brother?
Maintaining, man. Glad to be here. You know what I mean? Good to see everybody. Staying safe, doing their thing. Let's get to it.
Absolutely. And we also got CJ from Villains and Vinyl and VCW. How I do, bro?
Hey, man. Thanks for having me back again. This is always fun.
All right, cool. So we're going to talk about Tupac today. This is something that we wanted to do sometime last year, near the end of 2020. And we were going to, like, pretty much deal with Tupac, the man, the music and the message, and then how he's been misunderstood, you know, like in life and in music and so forth and so on. So, you know, we're going to do this in no particular order. I'll be asking the questions. You guys be shoot the answers. We'll have some commentary back and forth, and we'll just move from there when it comes to this. So, and like I said, in like no particular order on how you answer this. So whoever wants to go first, just go first. All right. So question number one. What made Tupac such a dynamic figure in the 90s that shadow still reaches 2021?
I'll go ahead and kick it off, man. For me, you know what I'm saying? I was a youngin' coming up at the time. And the one thing that separated Pac then for me, as now, was how sincere he was and how true to himself he was about everything he did.
Yeah.
Whether he was picking up a mic, whether he was on a movie set, whether he was at a rally talking about, you know what I'm saying, being broke, you know, before Kaepernick Neal, you know, yeah. Pac was out there. You know what yeah. I'm saying? We talking pre and post Juice when he broke out.
Yeah.
And he always was standing up for what he believed in. And again, coming up the way he did without, you know, having the father figure around, he didn't always know everything,
but
he always acted on what he believed in. And having that kind of sincerity is something that it rubbed off on everybody that was around him, and you could sense it, even if you didn't know him. Like, none of us here actually knew him.
Yeah, yeah.
But we knew him. He's like, okay, whatever he doing in that moment or whatever he's saying in that moment, for the most part, you know, he believed it.
Yeah.
And that's hard to find. And whether it's entertainment or just in real life, that's hard to come by. And that man had
it. Facts. That's a good way to start this off, man. Anybody else?
Pretty much everything that Sean just said, man. Like, whatever Pac did, he was all in.
Yeah.
It wasn't, oh, okay, well, you know, I'm going to do this, but I'm just like, I'm just go to a certain extent and then that's it. Like, you know what I'm saying? It was either all or nothing.
Yeah.
And I think that's what makes a lot of people love him to this day. Cause, you know, you got some cats, like that we listened to, but yeah, you know, so that was okay for a good run, but you know, so like we might bring them up sparingly nowadays. Like you can still bring Pac up, and they hadn't mixed or like messed with any of his old music. Like to this day, it still stands the test of time.
That's also true. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You can't say that with a lot of music.
No.
That we used to listen to. You really can't say that to a lot of the stuff that we got out now.
Facts. You know, like now it's copy and paste. You know, a lot of guys. Like I'm not saying that for every guy, but it's pretty generic right now. It's like, you know, whine on a beat, you know, have a dope beat and whine on a beat. and throw that on a track and you make $1 million, you know, talking about, yeah. So I mean, I'm just being real, like how is that? It's all about,
I mean, cause, and then the bad part is, you said, but the bad part is that's not even like a dig at the producers.
It's not.
No. Because
producers killing the game.
Oh yeah. Personally, that's what I look for. I look for the producers. I don't too much care for the rappers no more. But like you got like, you know, saying like you have this one producer that's out. They doing their thing. And they, like you said, when somebody else figure out how to pattern their stuff similar to that, then it almost gets to the point of ridiculous repetitiveness.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, but yeah. But yeah, that's my speak on it.
All right, CJ, what you got, bro?
Oh, man. I know we're not about to do a music episode, because I disagree. I think music has always been generic. But anyway, get back to pop. What I will say is pop
and I'm the hateful.
Be all things to all people in a way that I think very few artists could do.
Yeah.
And what I do think is rare, particularly when we talk about conscious rap, is he was able to be conscious without being condescending.
Fact.
Which is very hard to do. And he was multifaceted, right? He had a thug side that, you know, that was hood, you know, whatever you want to call it. That was just who he was. He didn't apologize for it. Mm-hmm. But he also had an intellectual side. He also had a sensitive side. So he was a lot of things to a lot of people, and he balanced it all really well. And all of it, to, you know, Sean and Mitchell's point, was completely authentic. I never felt like good or bad, right? Because sometimes it probably did him a disservice. I never felt like he was faking.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm not saying he was the hardest person out.
Nah, he wasn't the hardest person.
Yeah. He just struck me as a genuine person. Yeah. You know, and we, like I think Sean said, we never really know him. Mm-hmm. So you never really know anybody. But I can only talk about how he presented himself musically in the way that he connected with people. So,
But at the same, we're talking about the man right now. You know, like we'll get to the music in a little bit. It's because like what we're looking at the moment, you know, when we were talking about him not being the hardest dude, I don't know if you guys remember that joint, but when he got arrested, you know, and he was put in jail for 18 months. And they did an interview with him while he was in jail. Do y'all remember that joint? Like when they ended it, I was like, man, he said, I ain't trying to flex on nobody in here. He was in jail. It's like,
man, but that's survival, man. That's survival.
Yeah, I mean, I watched that interview.
I'm not
knocking him. I'm talking about like I said, he was real. He was like, I'm not trying to be in here acting like something that I'm not. He said, some of these cats in here for like double homicide murder. You know what I'm saying? He said, what in the world I look like? You know, I was like, I can't do nothing but respect the dude that know what he's supposed to know his limit. He like, all right, nah, I'm not going to mess with the situation. I'm not going to push this no further than I should. He said, nah, but when I get out here, I spit at a sucker, but I ain't spitting at a sucker in here. You know what I'm saying? I'm not doing it in here. You know what I'm saying? But I would add to the, like you guys were talking about, you know, I would say he understood something that Black people are still trying to figure out in 2021. He understood his cultural identity. You know, so Pac had already figured it out, but before he hit his 20s. You know, because of the history that he was given, because of his name, you know, like Tupac Shakur, with Tupac Amaru, like being after a Peruvian revolter. You know what I'm saying? If I'm not mistaken, I think it was a Peruvian revolter that lost his head because his revolt failed, but he refused to let his people on. He was like, I'm just going to fight until my people are free. Like, that's his name. You know what I'm saying? So he was like, every time somebody says my name back to me, you know, you're telling me to revolt until I die. You know what I'm saying? I was like, dang, that's a, you know what I'm saying? There's like, Nipsey was close. You know what I'm saying? Like, Nipsey was doggone close. I'm just going to be real with you. You know, I may not have liked this music as much. And that's like, no, I'm not really trying. It just didn't appeal to me. But the man's character, though, I was like, this sucker is close. And if he would have, we ain't getting to that. But yeah, like that, it's not even his fault. I'm talking about the other dude that clapped him. If that situation didn't happen, 2021 would be a completely different scenario right now. I really do believe that. Like the you know what I'm saying? But that dude's shadow, like Tupac's shadow, is so freaking big. And we got guys now that are trying to chase parts of it and not like the entire thing. They can't even do the whole thing. They're like, well, I'm going to be the thug version. I'm going to be the poet. You know, I'll grab this part and I'll be like the Death Row, you know, Tupac. I'll be that guy today. And it's not the same. You know, it's not the whole picture that Tupac had. So question number two. What moment do you think made him a household name?
Well, I'll tell you what, I guess I'll kick this off one more time. And I alluded to it a few moments ago. I was aware of Pac, what was I, you know, 8, 9, something like that at the time, a young one coming up, when he linked up with Digital Underground, when he was out there in Cali, when he left Baltimore and, yeah. You know, Jada and everybody when he was over there.
Yeah.
So I was aware of him. You know, I saw a couple videos. He was, you know, dancing in the background. But it was a track that the Digital Underground, they let him, you know, do a feature. It was called Same Song.
Mm.
And I remember when he came on and he had the African garb on and he was doing this thing. I was like, I don't know who this kid is, but I'm going to see him again.
Mm.
Right. So that was when I first became aware of him. But when I knew he was going to be something entirely different was Juice.
Mm.
And I would say that performance, with the possible exception of Denzel as Alonzo in Training Day, that performance is the most mesmerizing performance I've ever seen on screen, period.
Yeah,
and I was like, that ain't acting. I was like, that's that it that certain people have and certain people just don't. Certain things you can't be taught.
Yeah.
Certain things you can't be taught.
Yeah.
And that performance, and I don't care what anybody say, I think he took that performance with him for the rest of his life.
Mm.
The way he was operating before Juice and the way he they call it method acting.
Yeah, yeah.
I think Robert De Niro is probably the most famous for that.
Yeah.
He took that role with him the last 4 years he was with us after the fact.
Mm.
So that was the first time I really became aware of the fact that this guy was going to be different. I hoped that he was going to, you know what I mean, you know, go on to do other things. I thought he was going to be multifaceted. I didn't think he was going to be in just in one box.
Yeah.
So that was the first time I became aware of him and, you know, was definitely, you know, looking to see what he was going to do next.
Bet.
let me see. I feel like Sean, like with Juice really, really set him up for life. But instead of Same Song, what like I started paying attention to him when they did I Get Around.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? Like that's when I first like really like know him. And you know, like I noticed him and I just keep it in the back of my head and then like, oh, okay. Well, cool. And then you know what I'm saying, like so you know what I'm saying, like he was doing music. Like he did Juice.
Mm-hmm.
But then and he was doing A Different World. Like he was in a few episodes of A Different World.
Yes, he was. Yep.
You know what I'm saying? Because I think he was Jada's
old boyfriend. Yeah, it was an old boyfriend. Only reason I remember because like we do it every quarter. Me and my wife hit Different World up. it's a rotation in this house 4 times a year. Like we watch the entire thing. I love
that world. Is the most adorable thing I've ever heard in my life. Y'all have a quarterly date for A Different World. Anyway, I'm sorry.
Oh boy.
And yes, that is going to be kept in there. Yeah, man. Oh, I mean, man. Yeah, but yeah, you're right. I mean, it was him. And he was also in, what else was it? Wasn't he in Fresh Prince?
I wouldn't be surprised.
No, I don't think so.
It wasn't Fresh Prince. It was another popular black show. No, I have to look this up. Hold up. I'm going to look that up. Y'all keep going.
Write it down.
In Living Color. That's what it was. Okay. I was like, it was something else I know that I watched when I was like younger that he popped up in. It was In Living Color. Yeah, the gateway for all talent in the 90s. No, no offense to nobody else, but yeah, it's a gateway for all talent. We'll have a whole podcast about that another day. So CJ, what you got? Like, what moment do you think made him a household name?
Household name? That's so tough because I feel like when I say that, I think that I'll say stuff, and I think, to be honest, not to be funny, they'll make it famous in black households.
No, I feel like that. No, so this is like so. If you want to, I don't mind because like that's why I pose this question in a particular way. I think we all can agree that Juice was like an anchor. I mean, like I think that we all for the black community. I'll do another round. So you can start this one out then, CJ. For the world, what moment do you think was the point where we were like, oh shoot, nah, you can't deny this dude no more. You know what I'm saying?
It's either two songs, and for me, that I think globally. I think there's other moments. I think Different World. I think getting into the Atlanta cop shooting. How do you shoot out with cops and you're still alive? Like, so that all that is stuff that I think for us is for black men, I think made it famous for us.
Yeah, yeah.
But globally, I think it's either Keep Your Head Up.
Mm.
Or Dear Mama.
Dear Mama.
I can't, one of the two. And I can't, I'm going to go Keep Your Head Up. But even then, I think globally, like this true global is probably All Eyes on Me.
Mm. Okay.
Because that's a
genre. You talking about the song or the album? Because I say album.
The album.
Okay.
The album.
All right. Yeah.
Because that's a diamond album.
Yeah, it is.
And I think... Yeah, I would go All Eyes on Me, and if I had to pick a song or just like one particular thing, then probably Dear Mama.
Okay, bet. So once this is like, you guys can jump in again. Like what you guys think? Like globally, like what made him a household name?
I agree. Like, well, I tell you what. Well, not just Dear Mama. I mean, you, to this day, like that's like what's one of the songs that you hear on Mother's Day?
Like, that's true, Mama. That's true. It's Dear Mama and then Mama by Boyz II Men. That's that's pretty much it.
And then what about Brenda's Got a Baby?
Shoot, yeah. That's from Tupacalypse, right?
I believe so.
Oh yeah,
that's from Tupacalypse now. Yeah, that's from Tupacalypse now.
Oh yeah, you can count on black people to make good songs about their moms. Black men ain't gonna do nothing else. We gonna make a good song about our mama. We don't do nothing else. Understand?
That is facts. You goddamn right about that. you right, man. So yeah. So
we're gonna let you know we love our mamas and don't mess with our mamas. All right.
Pretty much.
There's like, two things that you can go ahead and book.
Yeah. That's it. If you're invoking my mama name, is to give her praise. Otherwise, you ain't living.
It's best that you be quiet. How about that? Otherwise, it's best that you stay quiet.
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
No, I think CJ hit it, man. I think Dear Mama was the first time where he was mainstream. You know, everybody famous on the music side. And I would say beyond that, Poetic Justice. Because at that time.
Why did I forget that?
Janet Jackson at that time, early 90s, is Beyonce now.
She was
the one.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
so, you know, having her in that movie, him being alongside her, man, and him walking in with that male suit on, and we like, man, he about to, and Janet was that thing back then.
Yeah,
so man, he about to pull her. So that movie, not that it's a controversial statement for some, I don't think it's a great movie.
Nah, it's not.
Right? But it was definitely a movie that everybody watched, everybody knew. And so seeing Janet in there, they was like, oh, wait a minute, that's homeboy from Juice. He can do this too. And it allowed him to show another side of what he could do as an actor, man. And again, two completely different roles, but what's the common thing with this man? There's a sincerity to, you know what I'm saying? There's a realness and the authenticity to everything that he did, man.
Yeah. Facts.
Everything. So yeah, I would say Poetic Justice on the movie side, and I would say to CJ and Mitchell's point, Dear Mama on the music side.
I'm gonna be real with you, man. The movie that hooked me for Tupac, like outside of Juice, was Above the Rim. Like that was the joint. I was like, I love this dude. I mean, it was above the rim. I was like, how could you hate this man? Even though he was like a villain, I didn't care. I was like, I don't care. I love him. He's a part of the family now.
Like a villain.
Hey, you know, I love him.
Yeah. And Marlon Williams capped him.
He did.
You done picked on me this whole movie. I'm gonna feel the steel.
Yo, homeboy rolled up on a quick too, man. He rolled up on a quick. Poor Birdie. You know what I'm saying? Like that's the one that hit me. I was like, I love him in the Above the Rim. He's so good at being, you know, an antagonist. And then he's also good at like making you laugh, you know, like he plays both sides very well. And like to your point on Sean about poetic justice, you know what I'm saying? I remember when we watched it when I was a kid, the scene that's burned in my memory, the first scene is the cookout scene. I'm being real with you. I mean, I don't know why, but the cookout scene where he's like, "Hey, cousin, such and such," you know what I'm saying? He's like, "No, we're going to get something to eat." And it's funny because I took that moment from that movie. And I did that at like hundreds of cookouts when I hit 10 years. I was like, I'm hungry. And I would find a black cookout and I would act like I was their cousin. I'm not lying to you. Then I learned that from Pop. I was like, I'm hungry, man. Yo, is Sesame 10 years open? Yeah, let's go on over there real quick. Let's pay the dollar. Let's get in there and let me pretend like I'm in a black family. You know, give everybody some hug. Go hug grandma. You know what I'm saying? Be nice to her and I can get this plate. And that literally, it never failed. It never failed. I was like, thank you, Pop. Your
grandma over then, that's a wrap.
Like, yo, facts, yeah. So, I mean, like, yeah, he was giving you cultural on nuggets, you know, to keep you, to help you to survive. I was like, appreciate you, bro. You know what I'm saying? Like, you just gotta. I'm just saying, man, you know, that's my dude. That's my dude. Any more comments before we go to the next question on well, the mainstream, what made them mainstream globally?
I think just one last thing. I think that answer is going to be different for everybody.
Yeah, I mean, right? Which is fair. Yeah, which is fair.
Yeah, so I think that's the only thing because he was such a big superstar.
Yeah,
that it's gonna be so different for everybody. It's kind of like, what's your favorite Jordan to relate it to sports? Mm. Right? You know, who's your favorite? Like, that answer is going to be so different for so many people.
Gotcha. Yeah. I'm saying, which is fair.
Yeah, that's a good point, man. That's a good point because it's funny. We was talking about that the other day since CJ touched on it for a minute. My favorite Jordan or my favorite basketball player ever to watch just one season was 97 Jordan, flu game guy. And every time I go to that guy, people look, they'll say, man, he wasn't even, you know, you don't take 88, you don't take 93. I understand he was a more dynamic athlete. Yeah, but yeah. I related to the one in 97 because he wasn't the athlete no more. He just fundamentally whooped your behind, which was something I could relate to a lot more. So,
yeah, man.
But CJ, I think it's a good point. You know, with a guy like Pac, you might ask five people and get five different responses, man.
Facts. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Full agreement. Yeah. You had something to say, Mitch?
Nah.
Okay. All right.
Go to the next one.
All right, cool. So question number three for the man. Did Tupac say something that helped shape you on growing up? I just told y'all mine. Yeah, he kept me fed for at least 5 or 6 years because of that technique. So how about anybody else? What you got? Once again, no particular order.
Man. Okay. The one thing that stands out most, when he first got out, forgot the young lady's name, young white girl. It was a interview that she did with him for NTV where they were just walking somewhere in Cali, like along the, like a boardwalk somewhere in Cali.
Mm-hmm.
And he was fresh out, had the bandana. And one of the things that she asked him in the course of that interview, do you feel like you've become the man that you want to be? And I'll never forget what his response was. He kind of looked at her. They kept walking, but he kind of looked at her and he kind of like cocked his head. And he said, no, but I'll die trying.
Mm.
And he said nothing else.
Yeah.
I have not become the man I want to be, but I'll die trying.
Mm.
And it was the way he said that. And one thing that that's a lot of people talk about when it comes to Pac is after the first time, he took five in New York when he thought Big had, not that Big set him up, but I think he felt like Big was aware and didn't let him know.
Yeah.
From that point on, he felt like he was living on ball time. Mm-hmm. And this was, before he got locked up. So it wasn't like prison put him in that mindset. He was in that mindset since before then.
Yeah.
So for that man to be barely 24, if not 25 at that time, and to answer that question that way, said a lot. And that stuck with me as far as don't think that you got, that your age determines how much you got, like life you got to live.
Yeah.
You got to be in that mindset that tomorrow ain't guaranteed for you. So, what are you doing now? So that would be one thing that stood out to me.
Bet, man, that's real good. Yeah. Anybody else?
Oh, yeah. I got you. It's not so much what he said, but I think what he wanted to do.
Okay.
So, we all know, what I'm saying, about the East Coast, West Coast beef.
Oh, yeah. We was all in it. All in it. You couldn't escape it. If you was a black boy, if you was a black boy in the 90s, and even if you was in the South, because the South, you were like, well, Outkast, they broke off a faction. What I'm saying? Like, and we talked about that on a previous, like they brought this up with the South got something. So we're like, oh my God, we're like,
wait a minute.
Okay, look, man, I get what you're coming from, but these suckers crazy up there. They coming down here and we go,
But no, I say beyond that, like, after I think either around the time he had passed or like after he passed, then it started coming out about how, he might have dissed a lot of people, but he wanted to bring a lot of people together.
Mm.
Once he was able to get get the death row stench off of him, so to say. That was inescapable for him.
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
But I think, his grand scheme, because I know he wanted like Wu-Tang. He wanted, it was like a bunch of other cats. I want to say Mobb Deep too.
It's Mobb. Yeah.
It was a lot more too. I think he wanted Jay-Z too.
Yeah.
He wanted to sign all these cats.
Mm-hmm.
And like just make like stupid music together.
Can you imagine that though? Can you imagine Pac producing, like helping produce, direct for like Jay-Z? I'm just like, let that roll around in your brain for a moment. like one of the things we also learned, with Jay-Z is that he didn't really take the mantle seriously until Biggie died.
Right.
So if we would have got Reasonable Doubt, Jay-Z, that sucker could flow in Reasonable Doubt. He had a common flow. He always joked about that, so lyrically, I went around like Common Sense and I made $5 million. They ain't been rapping like Common Sense. just processing like an East and a West Coast collaboration at one studio, that would have literally changed the game. That'd have been ignorant. Yeah, that's hard to even process now in 2021. It's like that's 25 years of music that we probably wouldn't have got if that would have happened. Yeah. So yeah, that's crazy. Dang. That's crazy. CJ.
Oh man, there's so many quotes. I'm gonna give you one though. No,
you're right though. You're right. Do your thing.
Pac was a walking, we'll get to that later on what I think the most underestimated part of Pac was. But the one comes from one of my favorite videos, which was Smile. It was released after he passed away with him and one of my favorite rappers, Scarface.
Oh.
He says, whatever you see, you keep a sense of humor. You got to be able to smile through all the BS. Mm-hmm. And that's just one of the things I try to live my life by. I'm not going to sit here and say it was solely because of Pop, but it was one of my favorite Pop quotes because I feel like you got to always, you got to find a sense of humor in life. Life, even at its most tragic, can be kind of funny. at least my life can be. I don't want to speak for nobody else's life. Don't come for me, woke America. I'm saying my life. At its most tragic. You know, there's some humor in it. So I just try to laugh. And that's my coping mechanism. And so that's always been something that I've admired, or at least a quote that spoke to me a lot.
Bit. Yeah. And that's one of those things too. Like with me, Pac had an interview with I forget the name of the guy, but it was right when he was starting, and he unloaded on like every hot topic that was going on in Black America. It's like Black love, you know, whether Black people need to actually be trained in arms and stuff like that. But one of the things that I was like, this sucker different. And this is like, unfortunately, like I didn't find this stuff until after he passed, because when we were kids, you didn't have access to any of this stuff. You know, they didn't put these interviews in magazines. Like most of these joints were recorded and they were sold. You know what I'm saying? So they wasn't for like full public eye. But he was talking about the importance of entertainers knowing their place. And I was like, if only we had somebody in this generation to talk like this to entertainers, because I think now we have this disparaging situation where entertainers are the voices that should not be the voices, because A, they never lived the experience. B, they don't have the wherewithal to actually lead. And he was dealing with like education and with entertainers and how they actually think education is supposed to be done in the Black community. And he talked about how basketball players, you know what I'm saying, will be going around telling kids to play basketball, or they'll say, oh, you need to go to school, but they don't provide no funding. You know, so he was actually attacking, you know, the entertainer, like saying like if you're gonna sit up here and be telling kids on TV that they can be all that they can be in the army, you know what I'm saying? Like, and that's a quote from him. He said, you tell them that they're going to do that, and then you don't support them afterwards. He said, then you ain't no better than a crack dealer on the block. And I was like, dang. You know what I'm saying? So that impacted me heavily, because, you know, I think a part of like the CJ said this in a previous Porsche, I'm a cynic. You know, I am, you know, and it's mostly because I know human nature. And you have to test people's convictions. And Pac was a person who tested people's convictions. And I appreciated him for that, because he was like probably one of the only rappers that would literally confront you when he didn't have an agree. He'd be like, disagree. He gonna confront you about that. The rest of these suckers are scheming in the background. He was man enough to actually come up to you and talk to you. You know what I'm saying? I think that to me was more impactful, even as a 36-year-old man. You know, thinking about that, if I got a problem with you, I'm not going to whisper behind your back. I'm going to talk to you. You know what I'm saying? Pac didn't like Biggie. He rolled up in the studio. he rolled up in the studio. I was like, yes, yes. That's my type of dude right there. He's like, nah, I said it in the interview. I said it in the studio. You know what I'm saying? You ain't worth nothing. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? But that particular part about him where he was like, look, you can't be talking about you bad about it, and then when I turn around, you the same dude fleeing in the opposite direction. I think that was his biggest beef with Biggie, because Biggie was talking a big game, but at the end of the day, it just stuff didn't line up. You know, it was like he was like, something ain't right about you, bro. You can't say that as much on the East Coast, you know, like so, you know, East Coast people chill out. But I'm just being real, because like that's just one of the things I always realized about why I like Pac more than I like Biggie, because I feel like Biggie was putting on airs. Great lyricist though. But no.
Wait a minute. Wait, man. Like,
look, man, this is your show, but hang on, man. Hang on, man.
Like,
CJ, you know, take this one, man. Take that.
I don't even know what to say. Like, we're not supposed to be talking about, I know we can't do a podcast episode without talking about Biggie, because their legacies are linked forever. But come on, bro. Like, I get if you like one more than the other. I personally like Pop more than Biggie, but I'm not going to disrespect. I think Biggie was just as honest as they come. I think a lot of Pop issues with Biggie, if we're going to be honest, was due to his own paranoia. just gonna say it like that.
I get where you're coming from, but especially like I know both sides had like agitators on their side. You know what I'm saying? I get that part, but if I said it and it sounded like slander, my bad. I'm just saying, as far as when it comes to character, to me, I would trust Pac faster than I trust Biggie. I know that's just me. So I'll be like, nah, I'm gonna go with him. You know what I'm saying? Like, I at least know what he's thinking. You know, like that's just me. You know, it's like I just don't trust Puff Daddy. I'm gonna go and throw this. I don't trust Puff Daddy.
Trust Shook?
No.
Oh, yeah.
Goodness gracious, no. No.
Talking about who they was hanging out with.
You mixing them. No. I don't trust that. I don't trust either side, but I understood where Pop was coming from better. At least for me. I understood he was coming from better.
No.
I still don't trust
that.
I'm gonna be real with you.
If
I had a choice between the two, I don't trust Sean.
I don't trust Sean.
I don't trust Pop Daddy.
If you saying you don't trust Puff Daddy, that's completely fair. Fine. What I am saying is Pop was hanging out with Suge Knight, which isn't exactly the man you want to put your trust in either, is what I'm saying. Near the end of his life, Pop was very close with Suge Knight. So if you're going to say you don't trust Puffy, which is a fair, you can trust, distrust him. How the heck? Excuse me, boy. You can't be on my podcast. I don't come over to mine. How the heck can you trust Suge? Is all I'm saying. That's my counterpoint.
I trusted Suge. I said I trust Pac. I trust Pac. I just don't vibe with, especially after the heavy D stuff, because at least for me, I know Suge will at least throw your behind out of the building. I know it sounds real messed up. Just hear me out. Just hear me out. Hear me out. Suge, at least to me, was like he was direct, at least in his approach to dealing with people. Puff Daddy has maimed people who are still alive right now. And he gets to walk around with the facade as if he was the one who helped him. You know, he's the Black Harvey Weinstein. You know what I'm saying? He's got to live, you know, in the process of like doing stuff to Usher, doing stuff with a couple other folk, you know, so I'm just saying, you know, there's something that I just don't. Yeah,
Let me ask you this. Hold on, man. I got to tap in for a minute, man. Okay, look, I got to tap in. Trail. Let me see if I'm picking up what you're putting down. You saying good, bad, or indifferent. When it came to Pac and when it came to Suge, it was direct. It was in your face. There was no question about what they was about. Good, bad, or indifferent.
I would say 85% of the time, yes.
Okay, and what you're saying on the other side, you know, Biggie and specifically, the way you're getting in on Puff, you saying it's the opposite.
Yeah,
face one way.
Yeah, I don't know what
behind the scenes, they you know what I'm saying? So what you're saying is, look, be who you gonna be, good, bad, or indifferent.
Directly
in front of me.
Yes.
Don't be in front of me doing one thing and then behind the scenes down the line, you want some other.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm just trying to see if I'm picking up what you are on it.
That's exactly what I'm saying. I'm not saying anything. I'm not, like I said, there's no Biggie slander. I'm just talking about like Bad Boys Entertainment. Go look up on Max interviews. And you know, people talk about Vanilla Ice and Suge. I'm like, I would have took Vanilla Ice situation because at least he got money. Talk to Mac and them. You know what I'm saying? Talk to these guys that literally died. They died penniless because of Puff Daddy. You know what I'm saying? So for me, when I like look at that and how he like exploited Biggie's death, literally exploited himself. Now, that's about himself. That he dancing in the rain. I'm gonna get off that. We're gonna go to the rest. Yeah, like Bob, because I can literally go on for an hour about how much I don't like
Puppet. That's a whole separate show. Yeah, it is.
That's a whole other situation. Yeah, it's just yeah. I'm not gonna let Puff Daddy, P Diddy, whatever his fake name is, you know, take
oh my over God. This particular
one right here. Brother Love, so, man.
You know what I mean?
Not
like
with y'all.
On another note, you remember like Coming Home? Remember Jake? That was J. Cole's baby.
Oh man,
bro! I'm still mad about that. I'm still mad about that. J. Cole was singing that sucker for like he had wrote down a closet.
Man,
I'm gonna stop. I'm gonna stop because like that dude is he trash. I'm just gonna like that. This when you hear it directly from my mouth.
Oh,
Puff Daddy is trash. Hear from my mouth.
Where my cup at?
I'm sipping too, Sean. Man.
Don't worry about white rhymes. I write checks. Man,
realest line ever. Because you know how many rappers got ghostwriters and don't admit to it? Puff said, look,
at least
bro,
Puff admitted it.
Hey, look. The clock is right. I mean, you can get a broken clock is right at least twice a day. That was his broken clock moment. So yes, absolutely. Like he told the truth once. So yeah, it's
ever gonna accuse Puff of being a lyricist? Nobody.
I'm not talking about him as a lyricist. It just as a lyricist. Like it's more. This is about Pop.
Anyway, right, this is about Pop, man.
This is about Pop. Press play. Like you listen to Press Play. Every song sounds different. That's because whoever was featured on that song was the person that wrote that song. So it was basically Pharrell Monch and two songs.
Y'all have completely derailed the show.
My goodness.
Isn't this supposed to be about Pop?
That's why I said it as a passing moment, and you and Sean the one who picked it up. I was ready to go keep moving.
No.
You know what I'm saying?
You can't just be like, yo, Biggie didn't seem like he was real, and me and Sean ain't gonna let that slide.
Man. Can't do it.
We can't do it.
Can't do it.
Yeah, but don't be blaming me. All right. I said what I said. That's a, I said what I said.
The gatekeepers held you up on that one, man.
Yeah.